From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
San Jose.
Oakland.
West Oakland.
I live in the bottom.
I'm in downtown Oakland.
In the bottom of 12th Street.
Coming up, we'll find out why Oakland is having a hard time keeping its teachers in the district.
It would be pretty difficult for me to say, no, I love Oakland so much that I'm going to stay here and take a $40,000 pay cut.
We'll see how teacher pay around the Bay Area and the state is far from equal, and we'll hear about efforts to change that.
If we don't do that for our lower performing schools and districts, then we are telling a generation of students that they don't matter.
Then the story of how a special teacher left a big impression on Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf.
He really respected how much intelligence that we had in us.
How far can a good teacher take you? We'll find out today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Today, we're talking about education, and specifically about public school teachers. Turnover in the profession is around 15% nationally, but in one Bay Area school district, it's significantly worse. That district is Oakland. Despite working in one of the least affordable housing markets in the country, teachers in the Oakland Unified School District have gotten a raise of only a few percent in the past decade. They're currently the lowest paid public school teachers in Alameda County, and close to a fifth of them leave the district every year. KALW's Jeremy Dalmas reports on why so many Oakland teachers are finding it hard to stay in the district.
It's 8:08 a.m., the Friday before spring break, and under other circumstances, Kathleen Burns would already be at work.
We would be in our classrooms preparing for the day, which is where we would rather be.
But instead, she's out in front of Oakland's Cleveland Elementary School with her fellow teachers, not working. They're waiting 7 minutes until 8:15 exactly. Since February, teachers have been protesting low pay by working from only 8:15 to 3 p.m., the minimum hours required by their contract. It's called work to rule, and it means things that parents expect, like student evaluations, are not making their way home. They're sitting unfinished in baskets.
They've been sitting in baskets for about a month because I don't have time to get to them.
Oakland teachers and the district are in contract negotiations. The union wants teachers to get a raise, smaller classes, and more school counselors. The district understands all that, but says it just doesn't have the resources to go as far as the union is pushing. And even without the contract problems, many, many teachers are unhappy in the Oakland Unified School District. 70% of teachers stop teaching in Oakland in their first 5 years. 70%! Nationwide, that number is between 40 and 50%.
Sorry, we have to sign in.
Can I follow you guys to the door?
Sure.
Suddenly, it's 8:15.
We have our 15 minutes to get prepared, so I'm going to have to go.
The school day has officially begun, and teachers run off to their rooms. Class starts at 8:30 on the dot. Just a few blocks up the hill from Cleveland Elementary School is Oakland High School. Look at a map and it's just northwest of the middle of the city, right where Park Boulevard meets the 580. At Oakland High, teachers are still working more than the minimum hours, but they did protest by closing their classrooms to students during lunch. Jesse Shapiro teaches U.S. history here.
We are in my classroom here at Oakland High. It's before the 8 o'clock rush of kids start to come in.
Shapiro grew up in Oakland, and like a lot of Oaklanders, he is committed to his city. He's been a teacher for 8 years, six of them here.
Finally, I've reached a point where I have a stride where it's like I can do the other nuances of teaching other than planning. I'm able to give better feedback to students. I'm able to interact with them more and help them out socially and emotionally. Kids come into my classroom and they know they're going to get a pretty good product because people know who I am around here. I've earned that.
And he's finally gotten the classroom he's always wanted.
Most of the classrooms don't have windows. You can see I have one. The lovely corner penthouse suite that I inherited from Stephen Moreno, who is our department head, who fled to a higher paying district just a few years ago.
Right there is one of the main reasons that Oakland is losing its talent. With an average salary of $55,000, teachers like Shapiro could drive a few miles to, say, San Leandro and get an immediate $15,000 raise. The teacher that left this room was one of Shapiro's mentors. He says that teacher is now making close to six figures teaching in Redwood City. And if he called him up
and said, hey, we got a job out here, I want you out here, will you come? It would be pretty difficult for me to say, no, I love Oakland so much that I'm going to stay here and take a $40,000 pay cut.
But beyond pay, teachers feel that the district doesn't support them and doesn't respect them. When she stops by Shapiro's classroom, special education teacher Jesse Muldoon says she can't afford classroom supplies, that she has to use an online donation site.
It feels pretty crummy that you're kind of begging from your friends and family to help subsidize your job.
She thinks about leaving the district all the time. At another building on campus, I talk with social studies teacher Emily Macy. She complains of not having enough support staff.
We don't have a librarian. We have a library, but we have no librarian. They keep trying to reduce the number of our academic counselors down to two. So it would be two counselors serving 1,500 students.
The state recommends that a school the size of Oakland High should have four or five counselors. Currently, there are three. Two would be below the legal limit.
I think in this school district, there's become this expectation that we're going to fulfill all of those roles because those actual jobs are not being funded the way that they should be.
That means when they need support, teachers look to each other. Jesse Shapiro explains.
The teachers run this school, and the superintendent's office needs to understand that.
Troy Flint is the spokesperson for the district. He points to two reasons they have less cash than they might. First,
poor money management led to bankruptcy in 2003. The state took control and we only regained local control in 2009. We're still paying off over $50 million at $6 million a year.
And second, there just aren't as many students.
We're a district that in about a dozen years went from roughly 55,000 students down to about 38,000 students, if you're not including our charter schools.
Most of that drop-off is because a lot of students who were in the district are now in those charter schools, and they've taken their funding with them. Meanwhile, the district still has almost as many schools now as it did before the students left.
We have probably 60 to 70% more schools than the average California district our size.
This is great if you think small schools are important, but not so great if you want to trim down the budget. And there's another issue. Every teacher I talked with was upset about how much money goes to administration. And Oakland used to pay yearly fines to the state because too little of its budget went to paying for teachers. But the district says that's not true anymore. And the new superintendent, Antoine Wilson, is planning on cutting almost a third off the budget for central office staff.
That money is going out to teachers and going out to school sites.
Teachers agree that they already have great benefits. And in this round of contract negotiations, they will get a raise. But the issue is how much. The union is pushing to put them in the middle of what teachers get paid in Alameda County. The raise that the district is offering would keep them near the bottom.
If Vietnam falls to communism, it's like a domino that's going to knock over Laos.
Back at Oakland High, Jesse Shapiro is lecturing on the Vietnam War.
President Eisenhower gets up and he says, we have to do something in Vietnam, because if we don't do something in Vietnam, all of Southeast Asia is going to fall to communism. Right?
With better job prospects one city over, you might ask why teachers stay in Oakland at all. Shapiro's at an age when many teachers either cast their lot or move on. He can see it both ways.
I have a friend who I went to middle school with. His daughter's a freshman at Oakland High. And, you know, she's going to be in my class in a couple of years. And so he chose to send his daughter here. And one of the reasons he says, like, oh, you know, your Uncle Jesse's going to be there to watch over you and make sure you do the right thing and so on and so forth.
On the other hand, Shapiro's wife, who's also a teacher, but in Hayward, is pregnant right now. So they need to decide not only what's best for Oakland, but what's best for their family.
I'd say right now I'm probably like, you know, 60-40 I'm going to stay. Here in this district, I feel a sense of responsibility to give back to the place that I grew up in. So, but on the other hand, if I were to leave, I just think about, like, you know, people from this community who grew up in this community who want to teach in this community don't, because they don't feel respected.
Contract negotiations have been going on for over a year, but will hopefully be wrapped up by June. their outcome will help make those hard decisions for Jesse Shapiro and all the other Jesse Shapiros in the district. For Cross Currents, I'm Jeremy Dalmas.
This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Teacher pay is not just an issue in Oakland. It affects districts throughout Alameda County, the region, and California. State education statistics show Oakland Unified teachers get a yearly average of $55,000. That is well below the state average of $68,000. At the same time, another district in Alameda County, Pleasanton, has an average pay of $84,000 a year. I ran those numbers by Ryan Smith. He's executive director of the Education Trust West, which focuses on improving equity in public schools. I asked him, how common are these disparities in teacher pay?
So we see significant disparities in teachers' pay in the Bay Area. Oakland on average starts at about $44,000for starting teachers. And if you compare that to a New Haven Unified, teachers generally start at $66,000. But when you look at the maximum salaries where Oakland Unified tops out at $72,000 on average, a New Haven Unified will top out at $108,000.
Which is Union City.
Which is, yes, yes. So we do see disparities do exist. I will say that salary masks other forms of compensation. So there are some districts that provide benefits, and there's other districts that do not. Some districts actually provide more compensation for other types of jobs that teachers may do, extra duties, and other districts don't. So there's other types of compensation as well.
Right, because I was looking at that $101,000 for the New Haven Unified School District. That's the district my children go to. And so it was very interesting to see that high, high number. And I was really wondering about where that came from. Do you have any idea?
You know, I don't. I do know that districts also receive different types of revenue, particularly in areas where there is a parcel tax. And I'm not sure if New Haven has a parcel tax, but there are different amounts of parcel tax revenue across the state. And in 2010, 2011, parcel taxes generated about $800 per student in Alameda County districts that have passed them, $1,300 per pupil in Marin, and roughly $650 per pupil in San Francisco and San Mateo.
Mm. So I was wondering also if we really, so to speak, get down to the nitty-gritty, how do these disparities in teacher pay play out in the classroom, in the real educational experience that, for children?
I'll say this, that teachers in most districts across California are currently getting paid kind of according to a single salary schedule. Truthfully, what we see in lower performing schools and districts that teachers are often paid less dollars on average than higher performing districts. And currently we have no incentive program to provide highly effective teachers a way to come to low performing schools. And there's no differentiated compensation. There are no opportunities for leadership. And there's been examples across the country where we see districts that are actually providing opportunities for highly effective teachers to come to low performing schools. So if you take a look at a place like Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools, the best teachers and leaders were encouraged to lead the district's most struggling schools and offered additional compensation for doing so. And then once that happened, teachers saw it as an honor to go to the lowest performing schools because they saw that it was an opportunity for them not only to grow, but not only to receive different compensation, but a recognition from their district that their art of teaching really mattered and what they were doing in the classroom really mattered. I believe when we look across California in places like Oakland or in Watts, or places in rural parts of California like Fresno. We need to do everything possible to get teachers that have proven track records to teach students in low-performing communities that are majority Black, brown, and poor.
At its core, why is it important to address this issue?
I think it's important for a number of reasons. Number one, if we're ever going to close the achievement gap and opportunity gaps in this generation, the research shows that the most important thing is to get a highly effective, engaged teacher in the classroom. That's what we want. Mm. So it's important. Compensation is a big sign of how we value our teachers. It's a big sign of how we recognize the work that they're putting in. And if we don't do that for our lower performing schools and districts that have traditionally had a hard time really turning around their academic achievement, then we are telling a generation of students that they don't matter. And I think that's a problem. I think we can rally around teachers. We can get teachers the type of support that they need, the type of professional development that they need, so they can master their craft. And we can ask them to tackle the toughest issue that we currently have, in my opinion, in public policy, how to get students who are in challenging circumstances at a point where they have the option of choosing college or a rewarding career.
And are you optimistic that will happen?
Absolutely. I believe we're starting to see a difference in the way that we're talking about equity. I think local control funding formula shows that. I think we're seeing models across the state and within the state that are thinking differently about how we place teachers. And interestingly enough, we're going to have a number of teachers that retire due to the large population of baby boomers who are teaching. So we can get this right. We can think about recruitment differently. We can think about retention differently. We have the opportunity to really make great gains in the next couple of years.
That was Ryan Smith, Executive Director of Education Trust West. You can find links to their articles and studies at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The fact that some teachers in the state are paid less doesn't mean their students value them any less. Here's one example from where our first story was set, Oakland Unified. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff graduated from Skyline High School in Oakland in 1983. She remembers one teacher in particular who taught her how to be curious.
My favorite teacher was Herb Kennedy. He taught this really creative class at Skyline High School in Oakland, California, my alma mater, called the Block Class. And it was based on Mortimer Adler's The Paideia Proposal. And the idea was to integrate different subjects together and to teach them over a longer period of time so that we could show movies and have more discussions. But Mr. Kennedy took it a step further. And he taught that class in the classic Socratic method. So he'd assign us like a poem to read. And that was the only assignment. But then when we'd come in the next day, he'd ask us, where was the poet born? Was there anything that happened to the poet in his life that might have informed this poem? And of course, none of us had done this research. But what it taught us to do was to do more than the assignment so that we could sound smart when Mr. Kennedy asked us these questions. And what it taught me was to be a learner and to be curious. It also was a great preparation for law school, where they teach in the Socratic method. So I was totally comfortable when I got to law school and not intimidated by that otherwise intimidating form of teaching. But the idea that Mr. Kennedy had so much respect for us as high school students to give us that format and to know that we had the intellectual capacity to actually go out and do more than the assignment and to be able to respond to that Socratic method of questions being fired at you really just showed how he really respected how much intelligence that we had in us. Mr. Kennedy died a few years ago. I was sorry that I was unable to attend his services. His wife was also a substitute teacher in my elementary school when I was growing up. My kids now go to the same elementary school I attended growing up, and it just rocked my world when my daughter came home the other day and she said that Mrs. Kennedy had been her substitute that day.
Libby Schaff shared her thoughts for our series, My Favorite Teacher, in which we pay tribute to classroom heroes. We've asked big wave surfers, journalists, KALW listeners, and others to tell us about a teacher who inspired them. And we've got another to share with you today from San Francisco's poet laureate, Alejandro Murguia.
My favorite teacher is actually my high school teacher, art teacher, Miss Grace Garcia, who in many ways kind of saved me from being an aimless young man to reading very advanced books when I was still in high school. I'm talking about people like reading Sartre and Freud and Voltaire. But more importantly, the summer that I graduated from high school, when I really had no direction of what I was going to do, I thought I was going to take a long trip to Mexico or someplace, I didn't know. She showed up one day and said, let's go register for college. So the last thing on my mind was that. But she took me down to City College, LA City College, her own alma mater, and registered me for school. And although I was a terrible, terrible student, both in high school and in college, it was important for me to kind of get my foot into the door of higher education.
That's San Francisco poet laureate Alejandro Murguia. Next month is National Teacher Appreciation Month, and KALW will be celebrating by airing more My Favorite Teachers throughout May. In the meantime, do you have a favorite teacher you want to tell us about? What teacher has most inspired you? We want to hear the story. Please share it with us on our tip line at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106, and we might get your story on the air. You can also email us at news@kalw.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Leela Day, Jack Detch, Audrey Dilling, Rachel Dornhelm, Marcy Fraser, Seth Samuel, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Angela Johnston. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll hear artists talk about the past and present of Oakland's DIY music scene.
There's an electricity in the air. There's creativity everywhere. It seemed like everything seemed to like inspire more stuff.
Making music in unexpected places tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents from KALW News.
1, 2, 3.
This music is by Northern California Americana artist David Lunning. Jennifer Lopez said he has a really, really beautiful tone when he was on American Idol early last year.
I can hear you on a record. I can hear you on some great tune like that and think, yeah, you know, wow, I love this, the sound of this guy's voice, and it's super cool and it's moody. The music took me someplace else.
I was reaching out for you. You were reaching out for me.
You can check out David Lunning's tone for yourself tomorrow night when he plays at Sweetwater Music Hall in Mill Valley. Music starts at 8 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
Most mornings we'd awake and regret things that we had said. Well, the flowers in the vase were all dead and brown. And dancing in the hallway, just a memory for us now. Oh, because there's you and me and the devil in between. Yes, there's a devil in between you and me. And it's plain to see, darling, we can never be. There's a devil in between you.